Now we find here in chapter 6 the preparation and now the construction of the temple. And you find that, first of all, he raised quite a levy upon the people for this. It was a tremendous enterprise. And actually, after Solomon built the temple, he went on to build other things. And he had too big a building project. And he overtaxed the people. Again, may I say that I think the evidence of decadence is today seen in the number of public buildings that are being put up. The buildings are buildings of steel today, but the men in them are weak as putty and can be pushed around. We are in a desperate day today. Now, that was the problem in Solomon's day. Tremendous building, but very weak man, including Solomon himself. We need to recognize that. I believe that they said in the Navy that when they got ships of steel, they had paper dolls for the leaders. Well, that's certainly been true and was true in that day. Now, you'll notice in the construction of the temple, that, as it's given to us, that actually it is only twice as large as the tabernacle was. Notice I'm reading at verse 2. The temple was much smaller than we think that it was. It was like a jewel, actually, like a diamond. A diamond is not as big as a straw stack, but lots more valuable. And that was true of the temple that Solomon built. Verse 2, and the house which King Solomon built for the Lord. Now I'm reading chapter 6, verse 2. The length thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits. Now the tabernacle was 30 by 10, and the height thereof 30 cubits. And this is 3 times higher. However, it was much taller than the tabernacle was. You can understand why. It was nothing in the world but a tent. Now we read in verse 3, in the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house. 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights. Now verse 7, and the house, when it was building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. Now let me say a word about the construction of the temple. It, as we've seen, it was not nearly as large as some suppose, only twice as large as the tabernacle. It had a cedar roof. It was cedar on the inside lined with gold. It had a cypress floor carved with cherubims, actually, all around, and palm trees. It was surrounded on 3 sides by a 3-story building. This was the place where the priests lived during their course of service. And in the front, there was a portico that was 10 by 20 by 120 cubits. It was half as long as a football field. And instead of one brazen altar, they got 2 brazen altars, 20 by 20 by 10. There were 10 lampstands, and there were 10 tables of showbread. You see a multiplication of every article of furniture. And there were 30,000 Israelites used in the construction. They were drafted for the work. And 150,000 Canaanites, and there were 550 overseers. Hiram, king of Tyre, furnished the materials and the artificers, and it was completed in 7 years and 6 months. It was made of stone, as we've seen, not the sound of a hammer, and it's estimated that it probably cost about $4,900,000, right around $5 million. It was like a jewel box, and there were 2 pillars that were in it. And we'll say a word about them later on when we get to the chapter in which they are mentioned, and that'll be in the 7th chapter. But these pillars are very impressive, and we're going to see what they mean later on. But these are some of the details of the temple, and the reason that I mention all this is in order to say this. It was more complicated, more detailed, and the very interesting thing the character of it, it's not only the innate quality, but that which the temple characterizes and represents. There is a prophetic meaning of the temple. And first of all, let me say you can detect definite deterioration. The temple is actually inferior to the tabernacle. Now, first of all, it's complicated. The simplicity that was in the tabernacle is lost here in the New Testament. The temple is bypassed and the tabernacle is the type. Why? Well, this thing becomes very complicated. We're living in a day when an emphasis is put on method and not on the Word of God. Now, that's the reason in this broadcast we're putting an emphasis back on the Word of God. Friends, the church today is just filled with new methods. I had a little church when I first started out on a red clay hill down in Georgia. We had a back room. That was Sunday school. And we didn't have very good facilities. We had central heating, a great big old pot-bellied stove right in the middle of the church. And may I say that it was a little white church set on a bunch of rock on that side of that hill, and it was in a cotton patch. I went by it the other day. The city of Atlanta has grown all around it now. My, it has been expanded. And they have now a Christian education department. And they have the latest thing. Well, I was just thinking. I asked a member of the church that had been saved in my ministry. I said, anybody ever get saved here today? He said, no. He said, nobody's been saved. May I say to you, we got a girl out on the mission field that was saved while I was there. It's a little old simple church. We never had anything complicated. It was very simple, but people got saved. May I say to you today, I don't like all the methods. I think we need to get back to the Word of God. Now, there was no windows in the tabernacle, but did you notice I read a verse that says he made windows of narrow lights? Oh, they didn't let much in, but they let a little in, you see. They did not depend on divine light anymore. They're depending on the natural light outside. Now, the cherubims are made of olive tree, 10 cubits high. They're very impressive, but it's not solid gold anymore. There's more ceremony, ritual, ornate, gaudy. And this is a temple that was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The temple of Zerubbabel was put up, and it was destroyed in turn and supplanted by the temple of Herod in Christ's days. And that temple actually pointed to the Lord Jesus. He said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He wasn't talking about that building. He was talking about his body. He spake of the temple of his body. And you equate the temple with the body of Christ. May I say to you, this is what we have here. And I'm not reading all of this detail. I've just gone over it and lifted it out. I hope you will read it. And I think you'll find it very interesting, actually. But it's all just building details. But there is this inferiority of getting away from that which was simple and that which had power in it and coming now to that which is complicated, that which puts an emphasis on method and ritual and that type of thing. And friends, when the church loses sight of the Word of God, they begin to put an emphasis on method and on other things. I, very frankly today, and I know I sound like a square, we need to get back to the Word of God. That's the thing that's important today. And they were 7 years in building the temple. We find out many things from this. The number of people that were involved reveal how they built in that day. Labor was cheap, of course. But in union labor, it was very cheap labor, and a great deal of it, slave labor, not here, because there was no slave labor in building the temple. But there was slave labor, we know, in building the pyramid. And just think of the hundreds of thousands involved in that enterprise. That's the way they got those tremendous stones up in place, you see. And it was two things. It was the number of workmen involved and a long period of time. You'd think that there were government projects that took them so long to build them in that day. And most of them were government projects, by the way. This is the temple. And two things I want to say. We'll come back to it in the book of Chronicles. It was David's idea to build a temple, to house the ark, a place to approach God, but not a dwelling place for God. David said it's just a footstool. It's a pagan notion to believe that God lives in a house down here. It's not the teaching of the Word of God. That's the first thing. And the second thing about it is it was complicated, very complicated. I tried one time. I have a book on the tabernacle. I was going to follow through with a book on the temple. I threw up my hands in despair. May I say, it's nothing in the world but complicated, that which does not illustrate or set before us the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the temple became God's dwelling place, and God can use method. I'll have to admit that. Now, the building of the temple. It was 7 years in building, we're told. It was much inferior, actually, to the tabernacle, though it was rich and ornate and probably cost $5 million. It was a little jewel box, not large. It was only twice as large as the tabernacle, but around it were buildings. And there were many complications, many intricacies that were not in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle in the New Testament becomes the model that speaks of Christ. Actually, the temple, although we'll see that the Shekinah glory came upon it, it never really measured up to what the tabernacle was. And there never really was the power there that there was in the tabernacle. We feel today if we get the right method, we've got it made. But it's not in methods. It's rather today in the power of the Spirit of God as He takes the Word of God and uses it. Today we are absolutely obsessed and we're submerged, overwhelmed by methods. And a great many people feel like if they can just get the right book and get the right method and make the right approach, that's all that we need. My friend, we need the Word of God today, and it's the only solution to the problem. And someone says, well, the Bible is not popular today. Friends, we're finding that a great many people are still interested in the Word of God. And it's certainly brand new to a great many folk because there's not much teaching of the Bible in our day.